Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Virtual Legality. I'm your host, Richard Hoag, managing member of the Hoag Law Business Law Firm of Northville, Michigan, and I'm a YouTuber. I use this platform to put out what I hope is informational, educational, and ultimately entertaining videos and information about the business and law of pop culture, video games, technology, and more. And I do it through this service on the terms and conditions that they provide. So I understand, as a corporate attorney, that YouTube can choose to operate however it wants. That being said, I think it's important to advocate for changes that you wish to seek in the way that your business partners are operating, and today is one of those days for me. For a little background here, if you haven't been in Virtual Legality for a while, or if you haven't been following the anime YouTube scene, a YouTuber by the name of Totally Not Mark, a few months ago, I believe in early December, started dealing with a series of takedown notices from an animation company by the name of Toei, and those takedown notices were acted upon by YouTube almost instantaneously following their policies and procedures, even though the takedown notices themselves seemed to have issues with the fact that they weren't abiding by fair use and fair dealing concepts in the United States and other jurisdictions. I believe Totally Not Mark operates out of Ireland. Now, Japan, if you aren't familiar with the country, doesn't have the same kind of concept of fair use or fair dealing. So these Japanese content creators said effectively, since YouTube is beaming your video content into our country, we can rightly call it copyright infringement because Japanese users could see it and it doesn't follow our laws. Now, as you could probably imagine, anyone operating on YouTube doesn't have the option to pick where the videos are shown. YouTube being a multinational, frankly, global enterprise means that that kind of claim was putting all of its content creators at risk, a fact that I pointed out in discussing it in this video from December. And when you've got a situation where a YouTuber goes out there and actually makes videos that are just ripped down and gets into this system, 150 videos at once, on an automated process, not complying, by all appearances, with the requirements of fair use and fair dealing evaluation that would be needed to make a block in all of these various jurisdictions, and YouTube backstops that as a legal process, you've got a problem. And regardless of what YouTube says about how they're policing the use of the content ID system, I have seen no evidence of it myself, and I welcome YouTube's imminent demonetization of a video like this. That said, I felt it was important to make. I feel very much for people that make content that improve our lives and get struck and get really run out of town by copyright holders that aren't doing their jobs and that clearly have the resources and money to do it right. So ultimately, Totally Not Mark continued to fight his fight across December, and in late January of this year, we did a follow-up story because he won a certain amount of victory. And apologies for the size of this thumbnail, but that's just the way that YouTube wound up saving it. Now, in that video, we talked about what Totally Not Mark had to say, and in certain respects, we found YouTube's solution here wanting. Just to give you the quotes from that video, this is where YouTube did something they have never done before, a move that has added a brand new step in their copyright policy. YouTube removed the videos in Japan because, given their application of copyright exceptions, Toei might see this as infringing in Japan. However, YouTube felt the videos could reasonably qualify for a fair use exemption in most of the rest of the world, so the content will remain up everywhere else. In short, since Japan isn't a demographic I even attempt to target and didn't have the capability of abstaining from uploading to in the past, YouTube has elected to block my videos in Japan. So faced with this issue, and because Totally Not Mark actually has 700,000 plus subscribers, I believe, he was able to contact YouTube and basically say, look, I'm not aiming at Japan. I'm putting these videos up. I believe they're fair use in Ireland. I believe they're fair use in the United States. I believe they're fair use in every country of the world that recognizes that kind of freedom of expression that apparently Japan does not. And so we need to talk about how this happens. YouTube, you're sending it into a country that's apparently a problem for me, and you need to help me. And YouTube basically said, we agree, and stopped the broadcasts into Japan. But as I pointed out at the back end of this video, that was never going to be satisfactory for the bulk of creators that don't have 700,000 subscribers and that don't get the option to prevent them being sent into a country that otherwise causes this kind of trouble. Let's look at what I said back then. That YouTube needs to take further steps at bare minimum, YouTube needs to punish those folks that use Content ID in the way that they clearly think was wrong based on the events of today as described by Totally Not Mark. They need to punish the toy animations of the world that are using the tools that they built, that they provided, in a manner that hurts their platform and hurts the people that make their platform popular and, more importantly, profitable. They need to police the use of the systems that they created. And further, they need to consider opening up some of these things to the creators themselves. Totally Not Marks here says he couldn't abstain from uploading to Japan in the past. One wonders if he's been given a little bit of a special button to say, not Japan, right? He's talking about anime. Not Japan might be a useful button for all kind of anime streamers on this particular score. And indeed, it would be a useful button for all kinds of anime streamers who might otherwise be transforming the clips that they use, commenting on them, all the various ways that we've talked about in virtual legality extensively that prevent infringement of copyright in the jurisdictions of the world that acknowledge that freedom of expression. Now, Totally Not Mark, actually, to his credit, came on and gave a comment that I have pinned to this video that you can check out, as it will be linked to this one, that says, "Worth noting, I did not receive a button that allows me to control where my content can be viewed from. YouTube just blocked them manually. I spoke to YouTube about this feature becoming standard. However, their argument against it seemed to stem from its ability to hide content for pirates. I had a lot of conversations over the month, all told to me through the point of view of one person, mind you, as we discussed in that video. To get this tiny addition to their copyright policy took weeks of this contact of mine holding meetings with a lot of higher ups. The interesting part is that MCNs, multi-channel networks, offer this feature for cash outside of YouTube. I confronted YouTube about this, and they said that they would screen certain MCNs to get this privilege. Individual creators are hard to monitor the behavior of, but individual MCNs are not." So YouTube here, in response to my commentary, Totally Not Mark's commentary, and a lot of folks somewhat upset, justifiably so, over the way that this platform operates, said basically, "We don't want to allow you to block where your videos are going into certain jurisdictions because we think that would foment piracy, because you'd be able to pick jurisdictions that might not otherwise have an angle against you." Now, that to me is ludicrous, because if you're pirating things, they can always bring a claim in the jurisdiction you're operating in or other jurisdictions that YouTube actually fires off into. So a controlled level of geo-blocking that YouTube can consider would allow them to prevent these kinds of situations with countries like Japan while still allowing their content creators to make justified things and allow YouTube to police against pirates. But all of this is the same kind of hand-waving from YouTube. You allow multi-channel networks to do this kind of thing, and they're easier to police than creators. How is that true? YouTube, if you don't have the resources to actually police the features that you put forth in tool sets but can give to some and not others, then you don't have the resources to operate the platform that you are claiming you can operate. Instead, you're throwing up your hands to these various jurisdictions and just saying, "We're out, we don't care, we're not going to help you," unless you have 700,000 subscribers. Thank you, Totally Not Mark, for the comment. It's very enlightening as to how YouTube thinks about these things and how YouTube thinks about folks that don't have 700,000 subscribers. So on your screen right now is a video entitled "Every Anime YouTuber Could Be Gone Tomorrow, # ShopProGambit, # GeoBlocking for All." And I'm not going to quote this particular video. You can check it out for yourself. I will, of course, link it in the description. But the baseline of this is that a specific company, ShowPro, decided to hurt this particular YouTuber's channel, not through the Content ID system, not through YouTube's internal metrics, not even through a DMCA claim, but instead by filing what appears to be some kind of small claims complaint in Japanese court systems themselves. So as YouTube looked at this, YouTube took the step to immediately acknowledge that that legal action had been taken. If we scroll back a little bit, we see that YouTube said, "We've received the attached court complaint. The content will not be reinstated, but the copyright strikes will be resolved unless a court determines copyright infringement has occurred. If you get a final judgment in your favor, you can submit proof of such this thread, and the videos may be restored." So it sounds to me like YouTube saying you're not going to get a strike unless a court determines there's infringement, but you're also not going to get your videos back, which is good enough to kind of have that chilling effect we've talked about in other contexts. But one of the primary issues here, and I talked about it in that first Totally Not Mark video, is that Japan has the right to police its own intellectual property. I might not agree with them. In fact, I can tell you that I don't. I think fair use, fair dealing is a very important aspect of freedom of expression. It is a right conferred by those who believe in that freedom of expression to comment on the creations of others. First Amendment here in the United States, various charters of the United Nations and others. But you have the right in any jurisdiction to police your own use, to police your own people. And if YouTube is sending this stuff into Japan, that is a nexus point for a Japanese company to bring a court claim like this one. The issue here is that YouTube takes that very credulously. We saw in the comments from Totally Not Mark that YouTube actually determined in his particular case at 700,000 subscribers that, wow, that actually is fair use for every place that actually acknowledged freedom of expression. And so we're going to do these things for you, but they aren't automatic. They aren't automated. So if you aren't using the YouTube system, if you don't have 700,000 subscribers, their baseline function as it stands right now is to take a court filing like this one, submit it in Japanese, say, hey, that's a court filing. We're going to have these strikes put on your channel. We're going to make trouble for you. And from a legal perspective, as a lawyer, that's well within Japan's rights to do it. Where does the problem lie? It lies with YouTube. It lies with YouTube not allowing its content creators to say, hey, there are these jurisdictions that don't allow for fair use. We operate on a fair use premise. And so you sending it into those jurisdictions results in something like this, which I believe he translates to be potentially a $700 fine. What matters, though, is that you aren't likely to go into the Japanese court system, certainly not to defend $700, and get that stopped, which means you're going to have a default judgment against you, which means it sounds like there's going to be copyright strikes. And that is an election of YouTube itself, right? We talk about the legal parameters here. Yes, this is legitimate in Japan. You're going to probably have an entrance of default against you, and you might not be able to go into Japan if you're not going to otherwise pay it. There's all sorts of things that can happen to you in real life. But it's YouTube's choice to then take this and say, well, even though it's operating under fair use, there's not fair use over there. We sent it on your behalf into that jurisdiction, and now we're going to punish you for it. That's why you see the hashtag geoblocking for all. We're going to talk about that in a second. And I think it's important when we do talk about this to get right into the heart of the matter. So this is the issue. YouTube sends content everywhere in the world. YouTube sends that content everywhere in the world without creators' permission, which means any jurisdiction that doesn't allow for fair use is essentially verboten if you want to use production stuff coming out of that jurisdiction. We need to address this because in the rest of the free world, fair use and fair dealing is allowed, and YouTube ostensibly stands for the sharing of critiques and commentary on these kinds of things. At least that's what they've gone out to the public with. So with that being said, I have a couple of things to advocate for YouTube to do. Let's talk about them. First, identify non-fair use jurisdictions. This one is pretty self-explanatory, YouTube, but at the end of the day, you should go and figure out what jurisdictions don't actually acknowledge freedom of expression as most of the countries of the world do. Identify them so that you know what they are. And for purposes of this call to action, we're going to refer to them as trouble countries. Countries that get you in a little bit of trouble, cause a little bit of trouble. YouTube, you should identify them and know which jurisdictions they are. Second, you should, at minimum, bare minimum, provide creators with a trouble country warning. We have an entire interface that we go through to put a video up. And you could easily have a statement there that says, are you using content from Japan or any of these other countries that have now indicated that they've got an issue with fair use, fair dealing, freedom of expression, all those good things that we enjoy so much and that help make YouTube possible. YouTube, we're not alone in this on the creative side. You should be interested in how these jurisdictions are operating as well, because it's only a hop, skip, and a jump from suing Suede to suing you. So keep this in mind as you consider all of these particular recommendations. Provide creators with that trouble country warning. Easy as pie. At least let them know what they're getting into, because you can see this stuff happening as well as I can. Next, punish trouble country worldwide content ID abuse. I mentioned this at the end of both Totally Not Mark videos, but you need to actually police the use of the tools that you created against abuse like the ones we saw Toy and potentially others doing. If they're in Japan, they might well have a right to seek Japanese blocking, Japanese lawsuits, those kinds of things, but they can't operate solely against fair use and fair dealing by hitting that worldwide button and telling YouTube that there's a problem in the United States, in Ireland, elsewhere in the world. That's abuse. You've promised in the documentation that we've shown in this video series that you are policing against abuse, that you will take these tools away from abusers. You need to start doing that, and you need to start being transparent with content creators about how and when you're doing that. Self-explanatory, once again. You need to adopt new strike policies for claims from troubled countries. Look, in the Totally Not Marked case, you acknowledged that there was a bifurcation of how your strike policies, the way your automated systems actually work, and what is happening that you can see right now in Japan. You said, hey, actually, their strike might be legitimate for Japan, but that doesn't make any sense for the United States. That doesn't make any sense for Ireland. We should do something about this. YouTube felt the videos could reasonably qualify for a fair use exemption. In fact, when I checked the channel, the stuff that I saw looked transformative, looked generally of a fair use kind of type. I can't guarantee that, of course, and I can't guarantee it for all the videos. I did not do a survey of his entire channel, but it struck me as a fair use kind of application of the content that he was otherwise commenting on. YouTube does this and says, okay, we just won't send it into Japan, but we won't give you the rights to make that determination. And by the way, Totally Not Mark, with almost a million subscribers, wasn't able to get this done in any kind of fast capacity, and YouTube had to step in and manually help him out. So you need to adopt new strike policies. You need to acknowledge who the trouble countries are, and when a court order comes in, when a content ID claim comes in, when a copyright strike comes in, you need to evaluate that and say, well, we should take under advisement that it's coming from a trouble country and there shouldn't be an automatic copyright strike placed on this content, these videos that are operating on our platform. You can do this. You already have the power to provide for geofencing both at the content ID tool level and the MCN level, as Totally Not Mark mentioned in that comment that we read. So you have the capability right now to say, hey, this claim is coming from Japan, shouldn't be an automatic copyright strike. There needs to be a new category of potential issue where you say, hey, if this is an infringement in that jurisdiction, it shouldn't necessarily wipe this channel off the map. And if you adopt those policies, like you did with Totally Not Mark, saying actually these shouldn't count in this context, it leads pretty clearly to the next kind of item here. You should consider generalized blocking of trouble countries. First and foremost, you should consider it for purposes of running your own platform profitably. If there are trouble countries that are causing these issues for their content creators, they can easily cause those issues for you. And you are a very, very large organization that can actually apply pressure to the copyright and freedom of expression laws in these jurisdictions. I'm not saying you'll change them all, but if you adopt a policy that says, hey, we're not sending YouTube videos into these jurisdictions, or else we're doing something else to punish you, then that can actually affect change. Change that can't come from Suede or Totally Not Mark or even Hoag Law, but can come from a company like YouTube. You should consider that generalized blocking, both to protect yourself, your content creators, and to apply pressure. But last but not least, you should provide blocking rights to the creators. Geofencing, geoblocking for all, whatever you want to call it. Your claim that you need to prevent folks from being able to do this in order to prevent piracy is frankly balderdash. These folks deserve the right to not have their content sent into a jurisdiction that is going to file a lawsuit against them for using your platform in the way that you've built it and decided to run it. In the alternative, if you really just are legitimately concerned about piracy, I think you're wrong, but consider allowing blocking rights for creators that aren't so obviously blocking rights. Have a checkbox as part of the process of uploading a video. And if you don't know YouTube, we have to check a lot of boxes and fill out a lot of things to get any one video like this one up on the service. Just ask the question, hey, are you using any content on a fair use basis or otherwise from any of the following jurisdictions? Check the box. Oh yes, I'm using it from Japan. And behind the scenes, that means that this video isn't going to go into Japan because it's a trouble country. Figure it out. Because right now, this can't stand. This can't stand for anime creators, sure, but a lot of other creators could find themselves on the wrong end of this kind of thing. Not the least of which, here in Virtual Legality, is video game content creators. Video game content creators that comment on Japanese video games are using footage from those games, screenshots from those games, other aspects of those games, to so comment on them. And right now, as it stands, based on these premises and the way that YouTube is operating in the face of Japanese court filings and whatnot, any of those companies could file a court complaint against a number of videos on a channel and put them in exactly the same situation that Totally Not Mark found himself in and that Suede found himself in. So you need to address this before it gets out of hand. And if you need any help, I'm happy to make more videos on that topic as things snowball from the Suedes of the world onto bigger and bigger things. That's my call to action. YouTube, I recommend you take action on these things. Not legal advice, as we say here in Virtual Legality, but definitely advice on how to run your business. This has been Virtual Legality for today. If you enjoy this kind of content, discussions of the business and law of technology, technology platforms, software, video games, pop culture, and more, please consider supporting us. We can't do it without support from viewers and listeners like you. Otherwise, just subscribing, ringing the bell, upvoting, downvoting, working with the parameters that YouTube allows us to, helps the channel grow. Certainly more subscribers leads to more pickups, leads to more algorithmic fun. So please do tell folks that we're having these conversations here. And if you did catch this on YouTube, thank you so much for watching. And if you listen to it as a podcast, thank you so much for listening. Share this one around because I think this is important. And I think YouTube has the tools to not only not harm itself, but to help itself and the content creators that make it so much money on a relatively easy basis. Thank you so much for checking it out, and I will catch you on the very next episode of Virtual Legality.
Virtual Legality is a YouTube video series with audio podcast versions presented as commentary and for education and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice and does not create an attorney-client relationship. If you have legal questions about the topics discussed, please consult your own legal counsel.